I guess first thing is to announce the targets for the conference committee. The conference committee target for 08-09 is 9815000. And the target for the TAILS is 11335742. And the one-time money target from the forecasted one-time money is 66931. And that includes a 3% COLA for all budgets for state employees. The target is expected to cover any policy bills, whether they're in the omnibus bill or traveling separately, that might have a fiscal impact. And no new programs starting after fiscal year 2010. Or base adjustments increases for starting new programs after 2010. Any questions? Okay. And I think the House would like to present their revised spreadsheet based on those numbers tomorrow, so we'll wait for that until tomorrow. We do have a little bit more work we could do, though, today, and I'd like to get as much done as we can, because we do have a Thursday noon target for finishing the conference committee. So reverting back to the outlier bill sheet that we have this morning, we had held one section of the doula bill pending a fiscal note, and we do have a fiscal note now on that bill, so we could hand out the fiscal note and maybe finish that part up.
I'll do that.
Is that in here? John? Is that in
Okay, everybody has a fiscal note, and usually we look for is for something to balance over a four-year period. I think this does. So then we have the A64 amendment. I could pass that amendment out. And this amendment would place the bill in the form it was when it left the Senate Health and Human Services Finance Division and would match the fiscal note. Basically, what it does is sets up a registry rather than making all the services. services eligible for medical assistance expenditures. Registry for the doulas to be registered and pay a fee to be registered.
Madam Chair. Madam Chair, so then the Senate, like the House, has gone just with you can have one, and there's a registration of who they are. Thank you. Good start.
That, as my understanding, that was basically what we had in the bill, that there was no reimbursement language.
I was kind of hoping the Senate might fight a little harder for that.
Then I guess what we would be doing is cleaning up the registry language to match with the fiscal note. Kavanaugh, do you want to just give us a little summary of what the differences are here?
Madam Chair, the main difference is the criminal background check. The language that the House has and the Senate had required the Commissioner of Health to complete the criminal background check. What the fiscal note is paying for and what the language does is say that the Commissioner of Health will review the public website that the Bureau of Apprehension uses, and then note on the registry whether there was some criminal activity or some basis for somebody to check out that public website, and then they'll put a link on the website to the BCA's website for somebody to check it out further.
Madam Chair, I would move the A64 amendment.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion is adopted.
And,
now I think we would be ready to adopt Section 26 as amended.
Madam Chair, I would move we adopt Section 26 as amended.
And that's of Article 6.
Of Article 6.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion is adopted. Okay, then I think we have an amendment from this morning someplace here. It dealt with MRSA. Here it is. It's an A155 amendment. This is to the House language on infection control practices in hospitals. And my understanding is that this amendment has been suggested by the Department of Health.
Madam Chair, I would move the A155 amendment.
Is there any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion is adopted. Then I think we could adopt this section of Article 6 as amended on the House side.
Section 24, page It's Article 6, R29, it's Section 24, so I would move we adopt the House language for Section 24 as amended.
We did check with the Hospital Association on this. This was one of the reasons we were holding it. So, any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted. Then, the Senate did take up the issue of visitation, which is in Article 6, House Section 27. This relates to Article 6, House Section 27, 31, and 36. House Sections 31 and 36 are identical to the bill that passed the Senate. So,
Madam Chair, I would move we adopt Sections 31 and 36.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted. And then on House Section 27, the Senate would agree to the House language.
Then, Madam Chair, I would move Section 27.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion is adopted. Then I think we have a resolution the staff was holding on Article 12. On page R57. And the staff recommendation on that is?
I'm not sure what you're referring to, Madam Chair.
This is quality assurance.
Madam Chair, I think it's on page R52.
Oh, R52.
Page R52.
Madam Chair, on the quality management assurance an improvement system for Minnesotans receiving disability services rider on the House side. We got word from DHS that they prefer not to have the language in the House side, the last sentence that dedicates the federal matching money to the commissioner for this purpose. So, Senate.
Chair, or to the staff, maybe. So, is the House position one-time money, or is that ongoing?
Representative Thiessen, we're not voting on the money part, just the language part of this.
The language, though, says these are one-time appropriations. Maybe that is included in the money piece.
That's included in the money
piece.
Okay, I would move the on page R52. Mm-hmm. The Senate language for quality assurance system
what
expansion.
What does their tracking say about this money?
Any discussion?
Yeah.
Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion is adopted. And the Senate has an amendment to one of their pieces. just to clean up the language, not to adopt the article, and that would be an A47 amendment.
Madam Chair, I'd move the A47, but we probably ought to pass it out.
Yeah, we will. This is an amendment to the Senate language on the requirement to file petitions in a timely fashion on commitments of sex offenders. And the Attorney General had asked not to be included in this language, so this simply removes them from the language.
Sir, where is this in the science? What the article?
We got the wrong article.
The amendment says R12.
Which article?
It's the mental health article, Madam Chair.
Senate only section 11.
Madam Chair, I would move the A47 amendment, which is to Section 11 on Article 5, R12.
Again, it would be just the Senate's intention just to amend this, not to adopt the section.
Madam
Any
Chair?
Discussion?
Madam Chair, is this just done by the county attorney usually anyway?
It is.
Okay.
Senator Pretner Solon.
Madam Chair, this is the Senate Section 11, is that
yes.
correct?
Yes. Any further discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The amendment is adopted. Now, the Senate was going to ask the Department of Human Services to give us a little bit of testimony on the mental health housing part of the Senate bill. And I'm wondering if folks are here to do that. It was one of the items that was not in the House bill, and so we thought we should talk about it a little bit.
Madam Chair, my name is Wes Koister from the Department of Human Services. We have a handout that gives a brief description, and we have included what is, we included the elements of housing in the mental health portion of the bill, as well as some of the housing elements and other pieces of the bill that certainly support people with mental illness. So the handout includes both. I believe it's on its front and back. And the first section is on the overview of the housing with services that we have in the mental health as part of the mental health initiative. The governor's position in this section of the bill is to invest $4.5 million in the first biennium, and $6 million in the second biennium, And the purpose of this is really to recognize the housing needs of people with mental illness as it relates to having a viable community mental health infrastructure, which is really the primary target of the mental health initiative, is to have a community mental health infrastructure where individuals will not have to linger in hospital settings beyond their what their treatment needs require. That includes lingering in residential and in regional treatment centers. I think I've mentioned before that we have waiting lists of typically to get into the regional treatment centers of about 40 individuals. We have waiting lists of people waiting to get out of about 60 to 70, and often housing is what we hear from counties as being one of the greatest needs that keep people in hospital settings longer than they need to be. So the purpose of this proposal is to support community placement with secure housing and services, to support timely discharges from hospitals and subacute care settings, to link people with evidence-based rehab services funded elsewhere in the governor's proposal, and to provide flexible funding to best support the broad range of needs. We have purposefully in this proposal not targeted one specific housing alternative, because the individuals that we serve, individuals with mental illness, have many, many needs across the spectrum of housing options. So we're trying to retain flexibility with this funding. Examples of the types of services funded are front desk coverage, a kind of a concierge approach to housing, meal preparation, building maintenance, and other supports that are not funded through other sources. This also, I would mention, it's not explicit on the page I just handed out, would also include supervision. We lost some capacity when we transformed the Rule 36 facilities to other kinds of facilities,
which I've been reminding you about ever since we did it.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And and so this is in part to address some of the lost capacity. We were able to replace much of that capacity with the intensive residential treatment programs, but we do recognize today,
but not in the metro area.
And we do recognize today there is a need for housing with intensive supervision. So this is in part for addresses that issue. I've listed on your sheet a number of examples of the types of housing options that we'd be able to support with this money. It's not limited to what's on this sheet, because we want creative proposals that address the real needs of people with mental illness in the community. And these housing needs are certainly occur in the rural areas as well. It's more profound in the metro area. So I've listed examples such as Safe Haven, which provides supportive housing for individuals who probably due to their mental illness have refused help or been denied services in other settings. And then this is a model that develops re-engagement in treatment and re-engagement in services so that they can go to more permanent housing options. Assisted living residences, which is much like what you're familiar with in the area of senior housing. Intentional communities, where services focus on creating a community that supports people with mental illness rather than bricks and mortar. It is designed around what is referred to as a community organizer, and where there are services provided to people in scattered settings, such as communal meals, planned recreation, and other group activities that are coordinated for the participants. Housing First is another example, which emphasizes finding housing immediately and then providing the supports and services as needed. And this often, again, uses scattered sites. And then project-based housing that offers housing subsidies with supports in large apartment buildings. Again, these are examples. They're not intended to be limits of the kind of housing options we can look at with these funds. And it was part of the original governor's proposal. It's supported in the Senate position. And then it's not included at this time in the House position. On the back of this page, I'll let Janelle cover, which is some of the housing services that are proposed in part of the economic and community support programs area.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Janelle Bush, and I'm with the Department of Human Services. We did a brief summary of the DHS portion of the comprehensive plan and long-term homelessness. And DHS and the governor's position has been to provide $4 million in each biennium, in addition to the existing base funding, for supportive services and other elements of the business plan. The Senate position details this by saying that $2.95 million per biennium would be for supportive service grants. These go out to a variety of consortia that are made up of counties and providers to work specifically with the long-term homeless, who, as you know, often have a number of barriers to permanent housing, and especially mental illness is one of the barriers that we find with the long-term homeless. In addition, there's $350,000 per biennium for services for the long-term homeless in emergency shelters to help them connect up with the services they need to then move on to permanent housing. $500,000 per biennium for the transitional housing program to allow for extended stays in transitional housing for the long-term homeless. And finally, $200,000 per biennium for long-term homeless program data elements. This includes expansion of the HMIS or the federal HUD information system that's required of their grantees and also our grantees. The House position is a bit different. It has $4.88 million per biennium for the first biennium and $2.88 million for the second biennium. As I understand it, that is for supportive service grants alone.
The final element on the back of the page is referencing Bridges, which is being considered in another committee, but because Bridges money is specifically for people with mental illness, I just thought I would put this here to call attention to the committee members that there's other housing funds being considered. Bridges is how it references housing subsidies for individuals with mental illness who are waiting for Section 8 housing. Again, the governor's position is to add $2 million each biennium for Bridges funding. The Senate is identical to the governor's position. And the House position has about $3.5 million in each biennium for Bridges funding.
Assistant Commissioner Koistra, if the governor's mental health initiative or some part of it is passed without the housing money, what do you expect would be the repercussion of that?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, again, the reason we put these funds here is because housing, and especially housing with services, have been identified as a critical element of the community-based infrastructure. We're trying to design hospital care to be hospital care, not a long-term residential setting. We've put elements in our bill, include changes in the county share for regional treatment center costs, which are intended to be fiscal incentives for timely placement in the community. And this is an element that we think is critical to supporting the county's abilities to address the fiscal incentives as we put them there. We want people in the community who can thrive in the community, and housing is just a major barrier.
So you would say that it would be harder for the counties to meet the goals of the county incentives without the housing money?
Madam Chair, that's right. And it's not just the county incentives. It's really the purpose of the mental health initiative is to support people in communities that we have, over the long run, supported in large institutional settings, which we're very determined to move away from. I think it's a critical element of our proposal.
Are there questions? Representative Clark?
Could you talk a little bit about the transitional housing and the distinction between the two bodies in terms of some long-term investment tails and so on?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, and Representative Clark, I couldn't hear the last part of that.
I was going to ask if you could talk about the difference between the two bodies in terms of the transitional housing proposal, long-term investment.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, as I understand it, the Senate version details the division of funding and specifically provides for some funding to go to transitional housing as part of the $4.4 million per biennium. The House version appears to only cover supportive service grants. I understand that other portions, other bills carry language for the transitional housing program and funding for those programs, but it wasn't directly tied to the business plan to end long-term homelessness. So we kept those two elements separate.
Representative Clark.
But looking at the spreadsheet, the House has $1.5 million in 08-09, and then also has tails in the next 2 years, whereas the Senate has none after the first investment, right?
Madam Chair, Representative Clark, as I understand it, there were separate elements for transitional housing that weren't part of the governor's business plan to end long-term homelessness, nor the governor's proposals. That's all I can say about that. That's not part of the element that I work with.
Okay.
Other questions? Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and members of the committee.
Madam Chair.
Representative Walker.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think it's important to note that I do agree that this provision is quite important. However, I also think it's important that in the House, the chair of the Housing Committee was never really lobbied on this provision and how it worked in the House, things that deal with the governor's provisions and even Representative Greiling's provision that went to corrections, went to public safety, housing, went to housing. And so for the chair of the Housing Committee not to have been connected with, and then I'll even use myself, knowing that I've been working hard with advocates and consumers moving money around, and for the department not to bring me this information, knowing we were moving money around and we have moved money around several times since we've come out of the Health Finance Committee, I'm not quite sure how critical they think that this truly is.
I'm not sure what happened in the House. I just thought we should talk about it today because it did seem like it was a piece that we needed to have some discussion about.
Madam Chair, I do think that was important. I just needed to make sure that if you're not bringing communication to both parts of the body, that if there's something missing, it may just be because you didn't communicate it with them. So I needed that on the record.
Sure.
So I appreciate the time.
I understand. Any other questions? If not, then I think we've completed about as much work as we can do today. And one more thing? Well, if we've got one more thing, let's make sure we get it. Oh, this is some cleanup language to a piece that we've already adopted. This is a A-159 amendment. We thought we'd clean this up once. So it'd be nice not to have to keep cleaning things up more than once. This relates to the electronic records revolving account. And this was this is a request by finance for that section of the bill. I thought we already did what they wanted. While we're getting this amendment around and looking at it, I might just add that in regard to the targets that were given to this committee, those targets do not involve any new tax revenues. It's out of the existing permanent and one-time money.
Madam Chair, I would move the A-159 amendment. I think the language currently, House and Senate, is identical.
Right, and it's been adopted. Any further discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The amendment is adopted.
Madam Chair, we, on the issue of the medical transportation management, we held, based on my request, a provision on the level of need determination. Mm-hmm. And I have an amendment that satisfies my concerns. And so I don't know if that's something you'd be interested in taking up now or if we can wait till tomorrow as well.
Well, why don't we pass it out and people can look at it and then we can see what people think.
Thank you. And it's on page R12 of Article 3 for members. And, Madam Chair, if I could just... There's two sections in here, one that we're not getting to yet, which has to do with the broker itself, but this has to do with the level of need determination, Section 7. And this is based on discussion we had in our committee about the stretchers, stretcher needy people. And the testimony was that if the doctors determine that, then that should be presumptive. There are could be circumstances where, under this language, there would not be a doctor determination in advance. And so this just clarifies that once a doctor or a hospital or a discharge person in a hospital acknowledges that someone is needs a stretcher transportation, that that will be the presumption going forward until another professional opinion states that's not the case after 6 months. And so I think this is a pretty good compromise to get at what the real issue is there.
Senator Coring.
Madam Madam Chair, I've been working closely with the transportation people, and I'm okay with this amendment.
And I guess the Senate would be ready to vote on this.
Madam Chair, then I'll move the A-158 amendment.
Oh, just 1 minute, though. Does this have any fiscal impact, does anybody know, to the bill?
I don't believe it did before, and so I don't believe this should now. I don't know the answer to that for sure, though.
Well, I guess...
Madam Chair, it is the broker. I mean, we're contracting with a broker to do this, and so it would be in the their contract.
Well, I think the issue is whether there would be more stretcher trips under this language than what we have in the Senate bill. But we'll adopt it on the assumption it does not have a fiscal, and if it does, we'll revisit it.
And, Madam Chair, I think this would limit the number of stretcher trips that would be taken, but that's fair enough.
Any further discussion?
Madam Chair, I don't know the answer to that, but I'm almost positive that there is no fiscal impact to this amendment. I'm seeing nods from the transportation people that there's no fiscal impact.
They don't write the fiscal notes, you know.
The department. Is somebody from the department here that would be willing to speak to this?
Well, I think we'll just go ahead and are you ready to answer our question? Yeah, that's what we're assuming. So we'll go ahead on the assumption it does not, and if it does, we'll come back to it. Any further discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The amendment is adopted. And then are we ready to adopt this section at least? Okay.
Section 7, Representative
Hunt. Madam Chair, I would move that we... adopt on page R12, section 7, as amended.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion is adopted. Okay, now are we done? Then I guess we need to determine what time we might be able to meet tomorrow. We need to try to meet as much as we can in the next 3.5 days. Can be excused also. That's it.
Yeah.
But you're going in at 10.
About 1. Yeah, we'll try 1.
So, with that, the meeting will be adjourned, and Representative Huntley believes that we could convene tomorrow at 1. And we will remember that we both have the ability to be excused from floor session except for roll call votes. With that, the meeting is adjourned.
Try to get you.
All right.
Okay.
tomorrow?
Then we'd have to recess.
Oh, yeah. You know, I know you've been kind of working with the EMS people, and OJ. OJ here.
Well, I'm learning a lot.
I've never met him. Okay. I just need to talk to him about.
I did know about
you've seen the memo that he sent out